Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Let me see what's exactly going on here. I have Mr. Bruce to call us. Once again, we seem to be having a little trouble with Blog Talk Radio, but believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we will as they say, the show must go on. So I'm going to send this to Damon, and hopefully he can get through to us. Let's see how that works out. Maybe we can get him to call us. But I do have my co-host in the queue, Mr. Jabron Clemens. Jabron, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm doing good.
Hey, good.
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Out of breath, I had to run back to the room and get my phone.
Hey, don't feel bad, though. I should not have a real close to get Damon. Hopefully, he'll be able to call in. Yeah, there he is. And just as I speak, here we are with the champ. We'll turn with the champ on Sunday afternoon. Crown, how you doing this evening?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Everything seems to be going on fine. I've got Jerry Jabron in the queue, and there's a lot of things for us to talk about. The other warning right now, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about what transpired last week with Mr. Burrell. Penalties handed down by the WWE.
JK, you're breaking up.
Hey.
Yeah, you're a little muffled.
Hello.
Yeah, we all seem to be a little muffled here. I'm not exactly sure what's going on today. Layman, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay, man. Thank you for asking. How you doing, man? How you doing, Jabron?
I'm good.
Right on, baby. Yeah, JK, you sound a little far away.
We seem to be having so much trouble with the volume this week. Maybe it's a Blog Talk Radio thing that we couldn't get in today quite. But I'm going to start with you, Jabron. What did you think about the penalties that were handled down by the WBC, WBA, and I guess we're hearing to hear back from the IBF since the fighters' promotional team of all decided that they're probably going to suspend him indefinitely. The only one we really haven't heard from is the IBF. Jabron, what did you think about the decision concerning Mr. Guerrero's uncle?
Actually, I really haven't really given too much thought. I've been so focused this week on the upcoming event during the week, which was the Kell Brook Earl Spence fight. So that was kind of put on the back burner. So I really didn't dive into that. I know they were saying they were thinking about, you know, suspensions and that, but I didn't look any further more into it.
This is a situation that, I don't know when the last time this might have occurred. The only incident that I can think that was close to this was either the Mitch Green fight with Mike Tyson. Layman, have you ever, you know, seen anything like this, you know, as far as the penalties that were handled down, and do you think they were strict enough?
Well, I've been doing extra research online about it, but I haven't heard exactly anything other than they saying that they're going to order an immediate rematch. Now, they're saying that it could be as early as Tuesday, May 30th, which that almost seems impossible, but I don't know.
Now, you said something that I haven't heard of. I mean, you know, I knew that there was supposedly some hearing with the IBF, whether there was going to be a rematch itself of the fight. But as far as, you know, we talked a lot about this last week, and you were talking about reactions, you know, too many people in the ring, da-da-da-da. Layman, do you think that the indefinite suspension was just enough, too much, or what?
Well, the suspension, who was the suspension on? On his trainer or on him, the fighter?
No, the suspension is on the trainer. The trainer that sucker punched the fighter. The only penalty against Durrell is like you say, you know, that if you want to call it that, is that there might have to be a rematch. But the last that I heard as of this morning on Ring Magazine, I guess it's Ring Magazine, those two sanctioning bodies have definitely suspended his uncle indefinitely. That's the WBA and the WBC. As I said, the IBF hasn't come down with any punishment yet. There are, you know, different suspicions about what might happen all the way up to a rematch and whatnot. But, Layman, I mean, you know, I spoke about Mike Tyson, and you may have seen it, you know, in some minor events that you've been covering or whatnot, you know, maybe even earlier in your career. Have you ever encountered anything like this where, you know, your opponent was disqualified, you know, but yet and still there was something that happened during the fight that might have been a little sketchy?
No, I haven't. You know, I cannot say that I have experienced anything of this magnitude. You know, nothing compares to this. I want to say that, you know. You know, I'm interested as everybody else to find out what's really going on, how's this going to affect Durrell. I think that the call was just for them to indefinitely suspend his trainer, whoever he was. I think his cousin or whatever. There's never no excuse for that. And I think that's just. But whatever else is going to follow, I don't really know.
Jabron, you know, as you said, you know, you spent a lot of time thinking about this last fight on TV. But just from, you know, what we've seen and talked about last week, what do you think about an indefinite suspension for Mr. Durrell's uncle? Jabron? Jabron, you seem to be breaking up on us, Jabron.
Hello?
Yeah, Yeah, you seem to be breaking up on us. Why don't you call in and call back? Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Okay.
I'm trying to
DeBron, can you hear me? Let's see. I'm going to see if we can get Javon back in. I'm going to have him call back in. Lehman, as I was saying, there was a lot of controversy, and I don't think that we've seen anything other than, like I said, some of the things that happened during the Robin Givens fight and whatnot. I'm just trying to think, Lehman. I mean, even back in the day, I haven't seen anyone make such a drastic statement as far as his actions. Do you think that it's appropriate for him to come back in say 2018, or do you see him possibly not being allowed back in at all?
Are you're speaking of the trainer?
Yes.
No, you know what? Honestly, I just don't think there's no place for that in this sport whatsoever. And the way I'm feeling right now, protecting a fighter, I don't think he should be ever allowed back into boxing, because that was some real foul play where he could have ended that boy's career. His life could have been taken because he couldn't even prepare for the punch. I mean, anything could have happened. No, man, this guy never deserves to even step foot back into an arena, as far as I'm concerned, because that's just wrong. I mean, had that had been somebody that I knew, that guy wouldn't have made it out of that arena alive, man. That's just wrong. You don't do things like that. It's a mess representation of his team. I don't care how high your emotions run. You just don't do that, man. You just don't do that, and there's no excuse that you could ever give for that.
Javon, do you agree?
100%.
Okay, we got you now. Hey, that's it. There you go. All right, we got you live and cracking. Okay. Your thoughts on this suspension? Should he be allowed back in 2018, or is he finished?
I think he's finished. I think he's finished because the simple fact, we rolled the tape to the Abraham fight. He got in the ring and got hostile and was scuffling and stuff with the people.
Of course, they're talking about criminal charges, full scale assault charges, and that is against Mr. Durrell. DeBron, we speak of how. Boxing is back, and we've got even the casual fans watching free boxing. Do you think that this might have possibly been a black eye to the casual fan, not so much as the hardcore boxing fan, but just seeing it from a fan's perspective? Well, how would you account for this whole situation here? I mean, you got one uncle facing charges. I don't think there were any charges facing Anthony, but we saw that the referee told Durrell while he was down on the ground, that the other fight had been disqualified and so forth. Javon, do you think that it was inappropriate for the referee to tell the fighter while he was down, or, you know, at least those circumstances, do you think that it was possibly a misjudgment on the part of the referee to tell Durrell that he had already disqualified the fighter?
Most definitely. Most definitely, JK. I stated before, like, how I felt about how the ref handled the end of the fight, his positioning and everything. So he kind of dropped the ball on that fight. Not saying, you know, he's a bad ref or he hasn't ref good fights, but just that particular fight, he dropped the ball.
Layman, you know, we always talk about the positioning, and I know you guys get the, you know, the pre-fight thing from the lecture from the referee, pre-fight instructions and whatnot. This was a very renowned referee. It wasn't like this was his first nighting out or anything like that. I mean, he's been in the fight game for quite some time. I know there was a lot of things that happened in the heat of the moment, and the decision for this referee to tell the fighter, because it, I mean, even though it didn't look like he was going to get up by the count of 10 anyway, but that's a matter of opinion. But Layman, how important is it to you as a fighter to not only protect yourself at all times, but, to make sure that you listen to those referees' instructions before you get out there in the ring? I know, you know, to a lot of seasoned veterans, it might be blah, 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 you know, but when you have, things that happen like this, do you think that there was anything at that particular time that the referee should have done instead of telling Durrell that he had already won the fight?
I don't think so, man. I think that I don't know. I can't speak for that referee. I don't know what was on his mind. I don't know. I just know what happened. I know it was wrong, and that's as far as I can really go with it, because regardless of anything that led up to that, man, when that dude did what he did, like, that took the cake.
Yeah, gross mismanagement on the part of Mr. Durrell, whereas you said, whether the tempers ran afoul or whatever. But now let's talk about the Durrell end of this. You've basically been given a belt, be it by disqualification or whatever it was. Layman, as a fighter, what do you do with this? I mean, do you just think of I'm the champion now. I get to defend my belt, or, I have a belt, I don't have a belt. I mean, it's kind of a limbo for the fighter. And I know that it's unfair to put it on the fighter because he was, the victim of a foul. But, Layman, how does this affect, or does it affect a fighter when he's kind of in limbo like this? I mean, do you have the belt? Don't you have the belt? Am I going to fight a rematch? Who's my mandatory? I mean, does any of these things play into the fighter's mind, or, hey, this is a victory and we'll see what happens next?
I hope I can answer your question correctly, because you kind of really spread it out, but I think at the end of the day, he has the title. I think he should release, a letter of apology on behalf of his camp, just assuring that, these things won't happen again, and just try to, do some positive things to try to atone for what happened, even though it wasn't none of his fault. But I think that he should just try to put this behind him as soon as possible by making that public apology, releasing it to the media, making some appearances, speaking, you know, good about his opponent, and just try to move forward with the next fight as the champion, you know. That's the best I could really say.
Javon, your thoughts? Come on, off mute there now. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I was on mute. Now, what was the question again now? I forgot the question.
Oh,
well, man.
We all outside barbecuing and have fun. And look, here come one. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Okay. All right. You the drunk uncle that showed up at the picnic. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Anyway. What do you think that this does to, you know, to the fighter's psyche? I mean, you know, he's kind of in limbo here. He knows what the two basic organizations have ruled down. Nothing against him, of course. But what do you think is the mental attitude of Mr. Durrell as far as, you know, this whole situation?
Well, he better go back into that gym and in that film room and watch his mistakes so he can fix them. Or if not, in the rematch, he'll be losing because he wasn't winning the fight when the fight was stopped.
No, he was definitely behind on all three judges' ring card when it happened. And Layman, you know, we have all at one time or another been, you know, fans of the Durrells, him and his younger brother, for, you know, the example that they have set in the ring and you know, the things that they've went through in their life and the contributions that they have made to the boxing, the city of Detroit, the whole nine yards. But Layman, when you look at his last two fights, you know, like this last one, the controversy was stopped. But as we said, he was behind on all three of those judges' scorecard, and his last outing wasn't you know, really an inspiration. So Layman, even though he does have this title, as Jabron mentioned, you know, when you look at these last two performances. There's a lot of things that he needs to work on. If you were in his corner as an advisor or whatever, Lamy, did you anything that you would advise Mr. Durrell going into a possible rematch or even in defense of his crown, depending on who it is?
Well, yeah, it definitely depends on who it is. But, you know, Jabron said it best, you know, go back and look at the tapes. And not just look at the tapes, but take notes, meaning write it down. Write down the pros, write down the cons. Take yourself out of yourself and ask yourself, how would you have beat me? Or then take yourself as the other side and try to see what it is that they see. Try to see your weaknesses. You know, it's easy to see your strengths, but try to see your weaknesses in a case like this where he was losing. What could I have done to make me more effective? What do I need to do to bring up my punch count? Or whatever it was that was causing him to lose this fight, he has to better that. You know, was he getting countered? Was he being first? Was his timing off? You know, did he have the right boxing? You know, obviously we know he need different sparring partners to bring out the best in him because obviously he didn't get the best sparring maybe. I mean, you don't know. I mean, we're just guessing here. But, you know, little things like that can really affect the fighter. And I hope to see him return back to the ring and show us a better show next time, if it's a rematch or not. So that's what I hope for Durrell.
Javon mentioned a few good things there. Maybe having some personal appearances. He has issued a statement as far as he was concerned, and I think as far as the fans were concerned, other than some of us maybe wishing that he hadn't been disqualified and the fight had a chance to go to its complete fruition. But Layman, I mean, is there anything more that the fighters should do? I mean, I can see, more apologies by the camp for sure, even though, it is a rather stiff penalty. Is there anything that the judge, is there anything that the fighter himself should have to do other than what he did in the ring?
I'm trying to understand exactly what you mean, but it's not really, coming through clear to me. Can you try to rephrase it? Because when you say, is there any more that he should be doing, you're saying inside of the ring or out of the ring?
Well, right now, since the fight is over, what more should he do, in the ring, or at least, is there any more apologies necessary on the part of Andre himself, or do you think that he's done all that he can do? So, let's try to put it behind us and go on to the next one.
Well, I don't think that he could ever apologize enough until it's been enough time. The pain is still wet, and I think that he needs to continue to apologize and prove his case. Through how he carries himself up until the next fight, how he comes out in the next fight in terms of the win, the decision, how he dedicates himself. I would say have open workouts from time to time and just do all the things you can to, as I say, just atone for it. It wasn't on you, but right now everybody's going to eventually point the finger at you. For now and until you can give it a little time and let the paint dry on this whole situation and move forward as a gentleman and as a professional is supposed to.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, the other half of that card, of course, Mr. Gary Russell Jr., he also apologized for the conduct of the trainer, of Mr. Durrell, even though it wasn't his place to do it, I think he lived up to the moniker, Mr. Gary Russell, that he has on Twitter, because I think that he definitely conducted himself right. He made sure that, all of the fans knew his stance, and he conducted himself as a champion all the way around. So, let's kind of thinking about the, Mr. Gary Russell Jr. here. Jabron, who would you like to see Gary Russell fight next?
Because, he had the history of not being active. So I just want to see him in there with anyone.
Layman, are you of the same agreement? I can't say whose camp, what camp, or whatever. We do know that Gary has spent these long times, intervals in between his fights. Layman, I know that we all talk about being in the gym, being ready whenever that call comes and all that. But there's a lot of things that we also know that goes into a fight. Your opponent's style, a lot of different, who's he fought, what did he look like? I mean, Layman, when you're the champ and no one, really wants to fight you, or you seem to be one of those guys, and I know the term is overused, high risk, low reward, but he is a champion. He does hold the belt. Is there anything that he can do to make, himself more active? I mean, I'm sure making himself available is one thing, but staying active is quite another.
Well, that all boils down to his team, to his management team. We don't know what is going on. It could be on his management part. I mean, I can tell you, man, there's no fighter on earth that doesn't want to fight. I mean, in terms of staying busy, staying active, because we all know the busier you stay, the sharper your skills are, and the more money you make, the more fame and everything that comes along with it. So I doubt very seriously anything on his behalf, other than if it's something to do with a physical injury that he may have suffered, and or it would be coming from his management. Maybe his management, his manager could be, dragging a ball, playing with his career, not negotiating seriously or hard enough for him. So I don't know, man. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things, it could be the trainer. It could be family issues. I'm just saying it could be a promoter. There's so many things to take into consideration when you talk about a fighter. So I don't know, man. We could really pick any one of them, to be honest with you. But I just say that to say that there is no fight on earth that does not want to stay busy.
He said something that LeBron picked up. I mean, Jabron picked up on very quickly last week, and that was about when he has a rematch with Lomachenko, he wants to retire. We've kind of all established it in our heads that Lomachenko is going to move up to, I believe, 136. Did he paint himself into a corner here, Layman? I mean, quite naturally, we're figuring, anybody that comes across, the desk, they're going to have their choices. You've kind of told us how that process goes, but is there anything that Gary can do, other than follow? Maybe follow Lomachenko up. That you think that Gary is chasing. By that I mean, should he make his sort of sole concern Lomachenko right now, and not just Lomachenko proved that it takes more than speed and volume of punches to win a fight. So, I mean, is there anything that you see in Gary Russell's offense that would make that fight any more appealing than it was the first time?
I doubt very seriously that he would come back into the ring against Lomachenko for a second fight with the same plan. So I really don't know what his focus would be, because a lot of people don't understand boxing is so many things, moving parts to it, because it could have been anything from his conditioning to his hand speed to his timing. There are so many things. I just say, man, all I could do is go with his word, where he said that that would be his retiring fight. Not to say I know what Jabron said. Well, that sounds like he's giving up. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know, man. You know, I don't have the ability to read anybody's mind. And so I just have to go at him for his word. But I think only a fool would come back into a second fight with the same game plan, you know, win, lose, or draw. Even Lomachenko would probably have a better game plan should they fight again, because, you know, there's no fighter that could win a fight and be 100% satisfied with himself, even if he don't land a punch. And I'm a witness to that.
Okay, yeah, I mean, if you can put it that way, then there's no other way to put it. Jabron, what, you know, I know you said last week you kind of thought that was a cop-out. Do you still feel that way?
I mean, I feel that is a fight that he don't want right now. You know, he don't want that fight right now. But he doesn't care if he wanted it right now or not. He's not a big enough name right now to get that fight going. I mean, nobody's going to throw any money on the table for that fight like that because, number one, he's not going to be the A-side, even though he holds a belt. He's not going to be the A-side in that fight. So he needs to focus on just being active, getting himself out there on as many as televisions as he can and promote himself, and we look at another year and a half, then we can come back and check out his resume and see what his activity is then. But as of right now, that's what he needs to focus on, is getting back in the ring with an opponent, not Lomachenko.
Yeah, I would definitely go with your side on that one there. You know, he should right now concentrate on what you can do and not you know, worry so much about who your opponent is. I guess just get in the ring, do the best you can, and see what comes across the desk. But now we get across. Yep, just check Alvin Jabron. It's perfect medium rare. What did you think about Mr. Errol Spence's performance over across the pond? Jabron? Come on, turn the volume up. Oh, he dropped on us again. Let's see if we can get him back. Layman, what did you think about Mr. Errol Spence's performance? You had said last week, of course, that knew that. You just said that. First of all, you weren't going to go against an Al Heyman fighter, but you know, let's talk about Mr. Errol Spence himself. What did you think about Errol Spence Jr.'s performance last night, yesterday?
Well, I told everybody last week what I thought about Errol Spence. I did say I wouldn't go against Al's fighters because I work for Al, but at the same time, I told you I believe Errol Spence is going to beat this guy. I told you how I thought he was going to beat him, and he did exactly that. And so I'm proud of myself to say that I still got it, and I was very accurate because he did everything that I thought he was going to do, and he proved that he's the truth. And now we want to see him in Thurman.
We know that Thurman's hurt, so it's going to take a little time, for him to get over his injury, then possibly at least a tune-up fight before that. So I would say at the earliest, we're talking about sometime next year. But there are a lot of things there was a lot of other drama that took place during this fight, especially the ending. But before we talk about the ending, Jabron, what did you think about Errol Spence Jr.'s performance?
I think it was a gutsy performance. Like I said, going into the fight, I thought it was going to be a very explosive, great fight, and I thought Kell experience would get him through the fight and have him come out with the victory. We also had questions about, you know, how would that eye hold up and about the weight issue. So, you know, we saw two warriors, man. And I think Earl, he has a bright future. You see that he already saw his mistakes and things that he could learn from. You know, I'm just happy for him, and I can't wait till next year to see the Thurman fight. But until then, his next fight is going to be at the Airlines Arena, American Airlines Arena in Dallas, and he's going to have a hometown fight for his next fight. And I heard that from his mouth earlier today.
Okay, that's good. Like we said, we know you keep your fingers right there on the pulse of boxing. There was a lot of controversy when you look at the social media, and you look at a lot of the champions and fighters that weighed in. A lot of them saying, it was the 11th round. You should have found a way to toughen yourself through it. What a lot of people might not realize, at least the casual boxing fan, is that his first surgery was actually on his right eye, the one that now, since the Kell Brook fight, we're talking about his left eye. So basically, you're talking about, I think, a fighter that should retire. When a fighter can't see, it doesn't matter how good his skills are. There's, your eyes and layman. I mean, no one can speak to this and address this better than you, because an eye injury certainly ended your career, be it prematurely or not. That's one of the things. That's one of the consequences of being a very aggressive fighter. Layman, what do you think? A lot of people are talking about this guy still fighting, but now he's had an operation on the right and left eye. Your thoughts, Layman?
I don't think he should fight anymore personally. I hope financially he's good to go, because in the back of his mind, with the injury on both his left and right cheekbone, basically was socket, it has to play a fear factor in your mind, which would not allow you to ever be completely 100% effective in a fight. Without the thought of negativity in your mind that, I'm one punch away from re-injuring my socket and possibly even my eyesight. So, I think he should hang it up, man. I can't speak for him, but if I'm him, I would be thinking about, if he has a family, if he... just his life after boxing, he has a pretty big name over there, so he still can cash in. And I hope that he, that's the way he's thinking.
Javon, do you agree with that? I mean, should he really think about fighting at all anymore? And, like you said, like Layman said, speaking about that fear factor, now getting a second operation on his other eye. What do you think Mr. Kell Brook should do? I mean, Amir Khan has said he's not going to fight him. In fact, he seems to be trying to troll himself a fight with Errol Spence. What was your thoughts on that fight the way that the Kell Brook camp actually handled that situation?
Well, to answer the first question about should he retire, I think he should retire. And I say that because I feel like the injury and the Triple G fight played a factor on his psyche in this fight. That's why the fight was stopped. Because the simple fact is, not try to get too deep or graphic, but basically what Eddie Hearn and Kell Brook said, that they removed his eye completely out of his head and put a plate in and then put his eye back in. And the work that they did was great, because if you look at other people like Margarito and a couple of other cats that had the same kind of similar surgery, their face looked droopy and all that. And if you looked at Kell Brook, you couldn't even tell he had an injury leading into the fight. So I think that definitely played a part in his psyche in the fight. Once he felt something, maybe, you know, something that reminded him of that injury. And maybe if he never had that injury going into this fight, he might have been able to fight through it, because he wouldn't have known the severity of the injury. He just know, hey, all right, it hurt, or my vision was blurred just for a second, but, you know, I'm good to go. But since in the back of his mind, he know what he just went through, recovery, to get to where he's at. So I really think that really played a psyche, because I don't think he was, like, hurt to the point where it's like knockout hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was fatigued and didn't, he was weak, and Earl like really hurt him. I really think it was more of the psyche than anything with his eye.
Devon, I'm going to stay with you and then we'll go to Layman. But you know, there was a lot made, especially in the beginning of the fight, you know, that with the experience that Kell Brook had, you know, he was going to take Spence out into deep water. But it seemed to me that it was Errol Spence, even though it might have only been the 11th round. And as we know, like you said, I mean, one punch can change a fight. But I thought Errol showed a good chin. He was hit by some of what I think were Kell Brook's best shots. But, Jabron, my question to you, more or less, is with all of the things that were said on social media, oh, he quit, oh, it was the 11th round, it was only two seconds left to go. Jabron, you know, even though, you know, a lot of these were champions, I mean, you know, Terrence Crawford, Gervonta Davis, you know, Keith Thurman. I mean, you know, everybody had a lot to chime in, seemingly. But, you know, Kell Brook had a very good reputation, not only being able to take a punch, but also of being a great strategist inside the ring. But it seemed like maybe the Brook team underestimated him, because it seemed to me that Kell, like I said, Kell was the one that was carrying the fight, especially the last three rounds. So, Jabron, what did you think about the overall performance of Mr. Errol Spence Jr., and were you surprised that even though being taken into deep water, he seemed to weathered the waters well, and it was him that, you know, came out on top of the water?
Well, watching the fight, you could automatically tell, and I mean, it's a known fact, it's no secret, but you can tell he's been sparring with Floyd, because the simple fact that Soldaplex straight jab is genius. Like, that's what was sucking the air out of Kell Brook in the later rounds, because the damage was already done from the earlier rounds, because people, a lot of the casual fans look at flashiness. They look at head snapping, the sweat flying, stuff like that, and they don't pay attention to those body shots. Even though Kell seemed like he was carrying the fight a little bit, Earl was doing work.
You're breaking up on us.
I think Porter noticed when he fought Sean Porter, when he would clinch, he would have one hand free where Earl Brooks could easily slip the uppercut. He's going into the clinch. Where Earl did going into the clinch, Earl made sure that his hand was free so he could attack Kell's body. So when you go back and watch the fight, watch what time he was about to go into a clinch. I'm sitting still, I'm not moving, but I am up here in the top of the Poconos in the mountains right now.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, I loved your T-shirt, and I did share it, and I shared it.
Oh, yeah. I'm out here shopping and at the resort and all this stuff, and I love that.
Layman, what did you think about Mr. L. Spence as far as being able to put in the body work, and what did you think about his game plan in general? I know you work for Al in that, but give us the eye test on this one.
Well, I told you, man, he's the truth, man, and he was going to beat Kell Brooks. And he came in here, he did everything he's supposed to do. He was patient, but he was persistent. He took advantage of opportunity. He was sharp. And, man, I mean, there's really nothing that I can add to what I said last week when I tried to convince you guys that he was going to win. And you, both of you guys was like, I'm going to go with Kell Brooks because, and I said, hey, man, hey, I respect your opinion. But as a fighter, this is what I do for a living. I've made my whole life out of this. So, I'm just going to say I'm up one on both of y'all.
Okay.
I'm not going to eat it because I actually I think it was probably a few hours before the fight and told him that, hey, man, this young boy looked like he might be a little too much. So
I got to give him credit on this one. JK did hit me up at the last minute, and I said, okay, I'm still riding with Brooke to the end.
I went back and looked at, the tape, and I thought that he was going to catch him all by surprise, meaning that I thought he was going to win the fight. Now, all of a sudden, we hear from a guy named Amir Khan. He didn't want to fight Kell Brook, which I think would have been, which would have been very lucrative, especially considering the circumstances, it still might be a matchup to make. Like I said, I don't think necessarily think that Kell should get back in the ring just due to the severity of the injury to both eyes, Khan, what would you think of him going back across the pond again and fighting an Amir Khan? Of course, money wise, financially wise, this is going to make a great fight in England, especially since he did beat Kell Brook. Spence beat Kell Brook, I mean, we could make that matchup, Amir Khan and
Spence, what do you think about Amir Khan throwing his hat in the ring now, you know, considering how long he's also been laid out the ring? Jabron?
I don't think Earl Spence is a big enough star yet for Khan to jump in the ring with him, because I don't think it'll demand that far as the money wise. You know, Khan would jump in there and get knocked out to get a nice check. So, I mean, the check big enough for Khan to jump in there. I watch the fight. I watch it get knocked out, and it'd be easy work for Earl. That, I mean, plain and simple.
What do you think about that matchup, Layman? Mr. Earl Spence against Amir Khan?
Well, just like Jabron said, man, you know, it'll be I ain't gonna say it's gonna be easy, but I don't feel like
easy.
I'm just saying I don't feel like Khan posed a threat to Spence. I put it like this. I think Khan's best days is behind him, and if he was going to really be this big champion, I think, you know, he would have been and done it. And again, that's not to discredit him. I think he's a good fighter, but I just think his window has passed, and he definitely don't have a window, or should I say, if he has a window, it's a closed window when it comes to Spence. Yeah, it'll be a good payday, and I think people show up because of the fact that he beat a guy from England, and him being from England, they want to, you know, cheer for the hometown, you know, the home country guy. But, you know, in the words of Don King, his chances are slim to none, and slim is out of town.
Yes. Yeah, hey. I know if anyone can quote the Don, you know, but look, I'm kind of with Layman on this one. Amir Khan's best days are over with, but then I'm also, you know, kind of agreeing with Jabron here that, you know, he's willing to the taste of the mat, you know, if the payday is good. But now, once again, we get into mandatories and this and that and the other. But is there really another big fight out there for Amir Khan? Because it doesn't seem like a lot of people are tearing down his door either. Is there a big fight out there for Khan other than you know, an Errol Spence Jr., where they could make the big money in the U.K.? Or is there a better fight for Earl Spence over here in the United States and really worrying about a Khan, because, you know, I mean, he's on the landscape, but I'm kind of with Layman that, you know, he doesn't really pose a threat. So, Layman, who do you think would be a better matchup, Amir Khan in the U.K. or possibly finding, you know, a mandatory and you know, bringing the fight back over here, either on the undercard at Barclay or somewhere at the MGM Grand?
I think the only way that the Amir Khan fight is going to sell would really be for the fight to take place in Europe, when we're talking about capitalizing on the dollars. Like I said, Khan's not hot right now. You know, he doesn't bring anything to the table to make anybody go like, oh man, I gotta set my timer to record that. Like, let's have a fight party. But, you know, his best days are gone, man. You know what I mean? So he's not, you know, I guess in the acting world, you would say he's a B actor now. He's not a mainstream actor anymore. You know, it's like one of those late night flipping the channels. Oh, it's a new show on HBO. Oh, one of my ex-favorite actors. Oh, okay, he's downgraded. He's a B actor. And again, I'm not trying to throw salt, or I'm not trying to insult him. I'm just saying his best days are behind him. If he was going to get any better, I think he would have gotten better. if he was going to be the champ we thought that he would have turned out to be. I think that he would have done that by now. For Spence, I think that financially it makes more sense to have the fight in England, but you know, you just run the risk. You know, like I told you about fighting overseas, I don't think the England fans are as crazy, so to speak, as, you know. But anyway, the point I'm making is that I think that Spence should be looking to fighting anybody else, somebody else, trying to capitalize on making as much money as he can for his retirement, man. And I wouldn't really waste my time unless it paid good dividends or it was a mandatory fighting card.
We talk about you know, Amir Khan, and you know, kind of like you say, you know, he'll put butts in seats over in England, and that would be a good fight for him. But considering the youth of Errol Spence, and we know that he's getting you know, very good workouts, like you say, he's fighting with Floyd. Part of that Mayweather team, we see him and Gervonta, you know, as I think the two young lions right now, as far as guys, you know, having a belt. Layman, how soon, you know, knowing that you know, this did not seem to be, I mean, it was a hard-fought victory, but Errol did come out looking, you know, the less tender for wear. How soon would you expect to see Errol back in the ring, say, September, October?
Well, you know, that, I don't know. You know, I think it's just come down to trying to negotiate him a fight that makes sense on behalf of his team. I don't know. You know, that's something that, you know, I'll keep my ears open about, and I'll let you guys know when I hear something. But I don't know what the plans are right now, and I don't know what their plans are in terms of his future right now. So, you know, I'll be in touch with you guys. I'll get back with you.
Most definitely. Now, let's see. I think we do, of course, May is almost gone here as far as boxing is concerned. Our next big bouts would probably be June 1st and 2nd. As far as TV, I don't think we're back on TV until June 3rd. These are two fights that we're definitely going to have to talk about before the night ends. Let's finish out, of course, you know, all our casual fans out there that have been talking about boxing is dead and why don't the fight, the best fight, the best and whatnot. I think if you look at these first 5.5 months, we'll say six. These first 6 months, we've had some great fights. We've seen some great champions. We've seen some great upsets. Layman, before we kind of move on to these exciting fights this week, once again, your kind of assessment of how things have went the first 6 months, what do you think? Do you think that we are more than satisfied casual fan these first 6 months?
Well, yeah, I want to say that my answer would be yes. you're always going to have in boxing your ups and your downs, but at the same time, we've been having some good quality fights. They've been coming to us by way of non-pay-per-view, making it more affordable for people to be able to watch. And like I said, the quality of the fights, man, you know, you really can't say anything. You know, I think boxing is on its way back. I think that the Klitschko the Klitschko fight with oh gosh, what's the heavyweight name? The guy he just fought, Anthony Joshua. Thank you. I think that what that did was kind of it broke the chains, if you will, that was kind of holding us back, because regardless of how great the fights are of the smaller weights, it's always in boxing always kind of been led by the heavyweight division. And to see, you know, guys like Deontay Wilder and, you know, got, you know, like say Anthony Joshua, you know, stepping up, stepping out, I think it is really starting to bring back that excitement, because every little guy inside wishes he could be a big guy, even if he had a world title. And I jokingly say it, but, you know, outside of course, the success and the money, we say that even a Floyd Mayweather, a Sugar Ray Robinson, a Sugar Ray Leonard, they would give up their success to say I was a world heavyweight champion, because, you know, the only thing greater than two great fighters going at it, two small great fighters, or two big great fighters going at it, you know, a Lennox Lewis, a Mike Tyson, you know, that's an excitement out of this world, because any punch can end the fight, versus a fight with younger, smaller fighters, you know, they got to throw a whole lot more punches, and yeah, they're more accurate, they're busier, okay, but when you got a big heavyweight out there, man, any punch can end the fight, including the jab, and I'm a witness to that, and that's what the people really want to see. But I'm just saying, I think that this era of boxing is starting to breathe new blood, fresh air back into the sport, man. Guys like Errol Spence stepping up, stepping out, man, showing the world that, you know, Floyd ain't going to be the last great fighter. So, you know, Keith Thurman, you got a lot of fighters out there that are bringing some things to the ring from different parts of the city, the country, the state, the world. And, you know, I think that you're going to see boxing take a new turn, but this time for the better, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, Layman. Javon, your thoughts on these first 6 months of boxing for the fan?
Man, it's been unbelievable. I mean, this is what we've been needing, a lot of fights to be made, people, champions fighting champions, or number one fighting a champion, not number one fighting a 12th rank, you know, people best fighting the best. And it's looking like the second half of the year is going to be just as exciting as the first half. I mean, within the next 2 months, we have at least, man, at least 20, 25 fights in the next 2 months of not just up-and-comers, but names that casual fans know. Just yesterday, another update on a possible fight that's going to be on the undercard of a good fight, and that is the Mikey Garcia versus Adrian Broner fight. They're saying they're trying to put Devin Alexander versus Luis Collazo on that undercard. So I'm like, wow, you know, good boxing. Collazo always come to fight, going to give you action. Alexander come to fight. Of course, you know, no matter what Broner does outside the ring, even though when he's in the ring, he's a tough cookie, he's going to entertain and give you a fight, and definitely Michael Garcia. So I'm just excited, man. I mean, I'm just looking at this calendar, and it's just heating up, man. Look at that card. You got Omar Figueroa getting back in the ring, Robert Guerrero, the Ghost, you know, two people that don't back down. Then you got Pedraza versus Jamal Harrington on that card. Then the heavyweight division for the champ over there. You got Marcus Brown against Sean Monahan, the two undefeated up-and-coming heavyweights. And then you got Arthur Spilker. This is all on one card. PBC, y'all. Free television. Come on. We got to support this.
Oh, most definitely. You know, if you haven't been in love with boxing in 2016, you have to definitely look forward to a lot of these matchups that we're having. And still, you know, we haven't even talked about, the seemingly big fight, Triple G and Canelo, because we have so much other to talk about before that. But we're going to start here with this week, June 3rd, Showtime once again. At the rematch, Adonis against Mr. Fonfara. Layman, I'm going to give you the easy part, and I'm going to let you start out with giving us, you know, they say style makes fights. This is, of course, a rematch for Stevenson's light heavyweight crown. Layman, your thoughts on this rematch, and do you think the outcome will be different this time?
Well, you know, they say styles make fights, man, and, you know, Fonfara has a style that, you know, he seems like a good, decent person, but, you know, I come from a different school, which is a different frame of mind, and, you know, I support him as I support all fighters, but I just say, you know, in the 80s, guys like him couldn't have made it. In the 90s, I don't know, guys like him couldn't have made it. In America, in the early 2000s, guys like him couldn't have made it. But, you know, I don't know, man. Then, you know, Adonis, I just, you know, I just have so many questions about him that I don't even think I'm the one to really have this conversation with. So I think without going any further, because I, you know, the thing is, if you don't really have anything good to say, you shouldn't say anything at all. So I would rather hear what Jabron has to say, and then I just might come back in. But I right now, I can't really say anything good about either one of them because they don't impress me.
Jabron, you got anything good to say about this rematch?
Dang. Well, actually, well, I just want to see it because, yeah, it is. I just think the rematch is a little too late. Like, this rematch should have happened years ago, like maybe 8 months after the first fight. It was a year after the first fight, at least within the year, because it was an action fight and it was a close fight. But as far as styles, I mean, nothing really impressive, you know, about Fafar. He's just a tough cookie, you know, that comes forward. Adonis, you know, he reminds me of the young Manny Pacquiao that was one-dimensional, pretty much, just that southpaw, pump the jab, and wait on the left. So, we shall see if Grandpa can get this victory. But I'm more excited about the undercard, the young champion, Elder Alvarez, the gentleman that Adonis Stevenson paid step-aside money to fight for Fara, will be fighting John Pascal, which I think will be Pascal's retirement party.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's going to be Pascal's going out party, going away party, whatever you want to call it. He's coming in on the B side against another young, tough, heavy young man, and heavy-handed young man, that is. And I think that he's going to, you know, if this is eliminated to have a chance to fight Stevens, that might be a much better matchup as far as Styles making fights, watching this young lion and John Pascal. But Layman, you do bring up a good point, though. I mean, you know, I think you know, I know Jabron probably doesn't really remember this guy, but I think I would love to see Adonis Stevens against Bob Foster. You know, considering how many years you know, he held that light heavyweight crown. You know, when you talk about a classic, you know, I think that would make a great classic fight. But you know, once again, you know, you do talk about how the mighty have fallen when you talk about John Pascal and Adonis Stevens. Should be very
what
interesting.
What belt does he hold?
I was trying to look at it because the only thing is that the only championship match that they show that they have slated for Showtime is a WBC light heavyweight title. I think Alvarez might have the WBA or maybe the IBF. I thought he had one of those belts too, but it's not showing it up on Ring Magazine or ESPN. But now we also have Showtime fight on the 9th of June. I believe that this will probably be the Next Generation. They're showing Mr. Young Hoel Diaz Jr. Have either one of you had a chance to see Mr. Hoel Diaz Jr.?
No, I have not.
Oh yeah, I see.
Well, this young man has a great future. It should be seen how, of course, you know, he's being handled by Hoel Senior, and he's making great strides out here in Southern California, and they're bringing him right along like they should. And I think he's going to be listed in these. He's only a junior welterweight, but I think this is he's the main attraction, fighting 10 rounds, of course, out in New York. Jabron, speaking of New York, we see most of these bouts are starting to get made up there. So I'm assuming or thinking that there has been some type of maybe agreement reached here. I mean, I know for these bouts that are on TV, you know, they kind of pay for themselves. As far as the insurance is concerned, have we heard anything else about that, or is this kind of becoming a moot topic as far as the state of New York is concerned?
Yeah, it's pretty much on the back burner right now. I mean, fights are getting made. You know, and Lou is getting it done. So, you know, that's something you'll probably have to ask Lou.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, when they have the TV fights, the TV usually takes care of that, so they don't really have to worry about that. But, Layman, speaking of, you know, we didn't ask you about the Pascal fight. Are you familiar with the young Alvarez at all?
Alvarez, as in which Alvarez?
The one that's fighting John Pascal.
Elder Alvarez, light heavyweight.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with him.
Yeah, well, he's kind of just coming up on the scene. We haven't seen a lot of him over here, and I don't know. You know, they might. This might be like the Kell Brook fight, where maybe these are the only two fights that'll be shown. What did you think about that proposed matchup, Bob Foster against Adonis Stevenson?
We talking a prime Bob Foster or a Bob Foster who tried to continue fighting after he didn't no longer have eyesight
No, we're talking about prime Stevenson and prime Bob Foster.
Man, I can't believe you. You know what, Jabron? If you asked me that question, all right, cool. But you, man, really? I know we got more things to be concerned with, like Shannon Briggs, and we can talk about Shannon Briggs and what's his name from Chicago? I'd rather talk about anything than that, because to even say Adonis in the same breath as Bob Foster got to be turned over in his grave. His fans, his family, and anybody who's hearing this is probably mad at you right now.
Yeah, well, tell you should have said, the one that was losing his eyesight, that would have been a better comparison, right?
Right, exactly. He gonna say prime, like he's not really understanding that Bob Foster in his prime, the only person that probably could have gave him, in my opinion, a serious fight, and even then, we don't know, would have been a light heavyweight. By the name of Evander Holyfield and or Michael Moore potentially, but outside of that, light heavyweight, nah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, Bob is back in the day was a bad man, as they say. I could almost give Bob one foot in, but like you say, the heavyweight division is. It's not like it used to be, and actually the comparison that I really wanted to make is one that will never happen because both of them are too old. As far as a light heavyweight being able to handle himself, right now I would even give my boy Steve Cunningham a good shot against Adonis. Hey.
Since you're on the lightweight – heavyweight division, just a quick update if I haven't put it out there already. Sullivan Barrera will be facing Mr. Joe Smith Jr. from New York on a card out in your neighborhood in the neck of the woods, I think, JK. And what's your thoughts on that matchup? I think it's going to be a great action fight.
You know, I'm very surprised. I reached out to Joe Smith's camp about this fight. And, you know, I mean, here's a guy that has beat one of the best rather convincingly, even though it was on the downside of his career. But this young man is still getting up 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work his construction job. Now, you know, I'm not saying that he's out there swinging the pickaxes or nothing like that. But what I am saying is that boxing, he's not able to support himself and his family by boxing, even though he's probably scored, you know, as far as you would think money-wise and shows to go through how fickle this sport is, you would think that, you know, there would be guys lining up to fight this guy just thinking, you know, how much, you know, hey, man, you know, great stocking in my cap. He beat the best. You know, let's go after him. He's a young rookie. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Once again, you know, we talk about styles making fights. Well, here's a young man that his style is going to make for a great fight with anyone that he gets in the ring, that if they're serious about fighting. I'm actually thinking that Joe Smith is going to come out the victor in this fight. I think that in my way of thinking, you know, not only is he fighting for a belt, but even at this stage of the game, he's still fighting for respect. Layman, you've kind of been in that situation before, fighting for respect. I mean, there's a belt there, but the belt doesn't have near as much meaning as respect did. What your thoughts on Mr.
Hold on, wait a minute. Respect, JK? You mean a check? If he's still getting up 4 a.m, you mean he fighting for a check, not respect?
I understand what you're saying, but maybe Layman respect knows what I'm saying, you know, even more. Layman, what do you think? I mean, I'm sure back in your day you went through a number of these situations.
Well, you know, it was different for me because, you know, he just summing it up, he has the right complexion for the protection. And he should sponsors out the yin yang and be capitalizing on his fame, on his success, you know, being Bernard Hopkins, being a white was an Irish guy. I mean, man, this dude, every Irish liquor, clothing, I mean, he should be making appearances. Like, he should really be capitalizing. I mean, okay, whatever his job is, man, they should be sponsoring him. Like, look, don't come to work, just wear this patch on. Matter of fact, we're going to pay you what we was paying you and even more. Just wear this patch. Just give us a shout out. Give us a like, a YouTube or something. He should be capitalizing on everything that he has going for him right now, beating Fonfera, then beating Bernard. If this guy is not making the money that he deserves at this point, well, then, you know, he needs to be looking at his management. He needs to be looking at everybody and everybody around him. He needs to be looking at his team, because there's no way on this earth, man, that, for lack of a better word, a Caucasian dude that has beat Fonfera and Bernard back-to-back should even be thinking about, I got to go to work. It just shouldn't. It shouldn't happen, and it's a CEO conspiracy.
I hear you, man. I hear you. See, you know, I bring up Bob Foster, and then we let all the worms out the can, right?
Oh, man.
Hey, but as usual, guys, it's always fun, you know, chopping it up on Sunday. We could just hang out, be ourselves, talk a little jive, talk a little, you know, whatever, and, hey, it's all among friends. So, Champ, why don't you tell us anything that you might have coming up, any updates on the Buster Douglas situation, and tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yes, man. Well, one thing I want to say. Well, do you guys disagree with what I said? My last statement about Joe Smith.
I definitely agree with you, and you know, I found it even more amazing. Like you said, that, you know, this guy is not. He's not doing any interviews. You know, it just seems like you know, for especially for the current circumstances, that he would be just the right guy, as you said, Layman. You know, the complexion for the situation, for them to try to make the face of the light heavyweight division, even if it's only for 6 months or 18 months. We've seen a lot of other fighters, you know, do things for much less. One of which I hope we can talk about next week. There seems to be something on the line here for Mr. Cotto. Kind of wondering how that's shaping out, but that's up in your neck of the woods, and I promise we'll talk about that a little more next week. Jabron, your final thoughts? Anything you want to add to Layman's soliloquy there, or you know, anything you want us to know about social media and where they can find you?
No, I just like to thank you and thank the champ as always. Thank our listeners, supporters, and just keep supporting boxing. I love it. I love it. Can't wait this week to have more boxing from Farrah Stevenson. And you know where you can find me on Facebook. I'm Jabran Clemon, JabranClemon.
Yes, sir. And you'll be able to find us right here next week, same time, same station. We look forward to having Iceman Scully back. He's at one of his reunions. Actually, it's a Hall of Fame dinner. I believe it's the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. Scully is away at that. But you can check out his page to get pics and updates of everything that's happening in Atlantic City. And we look forward to talking to you Tuesday on the Pugilist Corner. Have a great night, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Much love to you guys. Talk to you next week, guys.